What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just two scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Kachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code FITNESS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off. All right, everybody, welcome to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I am your host, Dan Johnson, and we got a decent episode for you today. It's not going to blow your socks off, but it's also a really good reminder on what is coming this time of year, right? We're all getting ready to hop into the woods more and more. The rut is coming, and we want to make sure all of our gear is ready. And last night, I had the ability to go out on my first whitetail hunt in a tree stand. I just want to talk a little bit about some of the things and observations that I made about my gear, about safety, about making sure I'm dialed so that when the moment of truth happens, I'm on point. Right. And so there's a lot of gear oriented stuff that need to happen in order to make the draw, the release, or the you know, bringing up your scope and the trigger pull, all of that. You got to have your gear right. You got to have your strategy right, and the wind and all that stuff. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into today's episode, I do want to send a huge shout out to the partners of the Hunting Gear Podcast. First and foremost, we have Muddy DV8 and the Muddy DV8 apparel line. Okay. And in the Muddy DV8 series is the Ambush series. Okay. And this is a layering system from Muddy, whether you're hunting in extreme heat or extreme cold temperatures. They have a layering system from you. They got the base layers, they got the insulation layers, they got the shell layers. It comes in a variety of camel patterns, most notably the Badlands. The Mossy Oak. Oh my God, I can't believe I am. Okay, this is where I become really unprofessional. Muddy DV8. I can't believe I am really dropping the ball. My brain is, what's the name of this? No, what's it? Mossy Oak Bottomlands. There it is. Mossy Oak Bottomlands. By the way, the Bottomland, all these camos from back in the day seem to be making a jump back into the spotlight, if you haven't noticed. Anyway, what I'm getting at is the Muddy DV8 series, the Ambush lightweight short sleeve shirt, the long sleeve shirt, the clutch pants. They have some quarter zip, some insulation layers, a whole bunch of different options. Go check out GoMuddy.com and then click on their apparel and footwear. Next on the list, we have Reveal trail cameras. Now, I'm telling you right now, the Reveal trail cameras play a huge role in me taking inventory every single year of the deer that are currently on the farm, that have been on the farm, the ability to go into the app and database everything so I can pull up old pictures from last year, farm specific deer, and organize my photos through the app as well. The ease of use on the new Ultra that has just been launched is second to none. You scan a QR code, put some batteries in it, and you have a fully functioning cellular trail camera. The technology is getting easier to use, and that is not anywhere close to as apparent as it is with the Reveal Ultra. All right. So go to tacticam.com/ultra and check out the new tacticam.com/cameras. Check out the new Ultra as well as the previous 3.0 versions. Now, what was I going to say? Okay. This conversation that we're going to have today is about, obviously it's about hunting gear, but it's about being prepared for the upcoming, what I'm just going to say is the rut. I know several of us, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you are probably serious about your gear, okay? You're taking into consideration all of the gear, taking care of it, making sure that you have everything you need for the said hunts. And I'm just going to kind of start at the beginning of what my process looks like for getting everything ready for the hunt. Now, I have already been on a mule deer hunt in South Dakota this year, and I have some of my stuff ready for that. But it's a new set of gear for, you know, my Iowa tree stand slash saddle type of hunting. I kind of do a hybrid method where I wear a saddle every hunt, even if I am in a tree stand. And so it gives me the ability to lean back a little bit, take some weight off my back. It allows me to sit down if I want to, cause I have horrible knees. And so, I really like that. And then if I ever want to get real strategic and hop in for a running gun, I'm definitely doing the saddle. So, okay. Here's what I would do if I was you. And if you haven't been out in the woods yet, the time is coming. This is what I did. I pulled my wife's car out of the garage. It was kind of windy, so I needed like a windbreak. I laid out all my gear. Okay. And I kind of separated it by what comes into the tree with me and then what does not. And so I organized all of my clothing to what I'm going to use in this next 2 weeks. I mean, I looked at the temp for the next 10 days and we're looking at the highs are supposed to be 60 and then the lows are supposed to be anywhere from the high 30s to the mid 40s. In the mornings and as the sun starts to go down. I don't see any huge weather events coming, so the big overalls and the big insulated jacket probably won't make an appearance until then. However, What I'm doing is I have my backpack and then I load my backpack. And then I say, what do I need in my backpack as I'm walking to the tree? I'm setting up and I'm getting, you know, I'm there for the evening or there for the morning. Step number one, I always, and I'm going to work top to bottom. I have a little compartment where I keep a headlamp. Like if I'm walking in, I have my headlamp on. I take it off and I put it in this pocket. In that pocket is also my knife and a pair of rubber gloves. So if I do shoot a deer, before I even go back to the truck or I get someone to help me haul it, I'm gutting it right where I find it. And that's why I have that knife and the set of rubber gloves in there. And then after I use the rubber gloves, I take them off, I'll throw them in my pack and I'll take them out later. As we get down into the pack, the next thing that I am carrying is my extra additional layer. So now I'm packing from the bottom up, right? The stuff that I don't need to take out first, I take it out last, goes in the bottom. So my extra layer, any gloves or stocking caps, because I usually, when I'm walking in, even in cold weather, I am really light on the clothing to the point where I almost try to want to be cold. I want to be cold when I get to the stand, and I know my heart is pumping, my body temperature is up because I'm exerting energy, and then I get in the tree and then I start to layer, or I let myself kind of cool down. I let all the moisture get off of my body, and that comes on after I set up my Ozonix, any screw in or bow hangers that I need to put in. I'm a huge fan of running in Ozonix. It's just something that I have used throughout the course of all of my, I mean, ever since it's come out, I've seen really good application in the woods, but also in the garage where I hang my hunting clothing after a hunt. I put it in the compressor, or not the compressor, the closet, I guess they call it a closet, and hang my stuff in there, run a cycle, bada bing, bada boom, we're good. So then I'll hang that up. Any screw in hooks for my backpack. If it's a running gun, you know, obviously, I might have some screw in steps in there or some screw in hooks, a bow hook. But most of the time, as I'm climbing up, I already have my saddle on, right? So I clip in first, and then in the pockets of my saddle, I have these little, I think they're called storage compartments, but they're drawstring tops. In there, I have my tether. In there, I have my screw and hooks. I don't ever carry my bow. I don't know why I put my bow hanger in my backpack, because it's longer and it fits into my backpack better than it does into one of these compartments. So I have my tether and I have my small screw and hooks for my backpack. That goes in first so I can take my backpack off, hang it up, and then I put the, Ozonix up. Once I get the Ozonix up, I'm pulling my bow up the tree. If this is a running gun, I will tie my bow to the strap or to my, to the bow rope. Then I will climb up the tree. And this way I don't have to go down, up and down, up and down so much. I will tie it to the stand and then I will pull my bow up once I'm all set up. Pulling my bow up, and I don't know where a lot of people stand on this, but it's one of the last things that I do. I just want to make sure I'm set. And that way, when I pull my bow up, I'm hanging it on the tree and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go with it. So I pull my bow up, I hang my tree and make sure my Ozonix is ready. And now we're ready to hunt, right? In my pack, I also keep a Nalgene bottle full of water. And if it's going to be like a longer sit, I may have some snacks. Typically, I used to bring food a lot, but usually what would happen is I would get bored, I would eat my snacks, and then I would get tired. I'd have that sugar dump, and then I would get tired. And so if I do bring a snack, it's usually an apple or maybe a bag of baby carrots or something like that now, because I don't want to get tired. I want to be alert as, you know, as long as possible. I also have here, and this is actually something that I have realized is fairly good. Instead of drinking all the coffee in the morning, like a cups of coffee. I've started using these. They're called grinds. They are coffee grinds in a like a little, it almost looks like chewing tobacco, but it's coffee grinds. And I just pop one of those in my lip and it acts as a cup of coffee. So that way I don't have to prepare coffee in the morning. I can kind of just get up and go. I get the same effects with that little caffeine pump in the morning. And outside of that, man, it's really easy. I typically try to have everything within arm's reach. So if I'm sitting in the Y of a tree, or I don't want to necessarily wait till daylight to pull out my jacket, or, you know, put my jacket on or an extra layer or take a layer off in the tree just from a movement standpoint. So what I'll do is I'll try to have everything close by so I don't have to pull my backpack up, because I always set my backpack below me, somewhere around seat level. And that way, if I'm sitting down, I can still kind of reach into it. But if I'm standing, you know, I would need to pull it up. So I'm just making sure that my additional layers are out of the pack, and maybe they're hanging up on a hook or in a Y of, like last night, it was on a Y of a tree, or I have it resting between my back and the tree over top of the seat of the tree stand. Now, if I'm in a saddle, then it's hanging on a hook somewhere, or it's hanging on the same hook that my backpack is on or something like that, where it can be easily reached. Outside of that, man, I pull my, you know, like I said, I pull my bow up, I hang my bow up, I have an arrow in it, and then I have a thumb release. So I clip my thumb release to my D loop and I'm ready to go. So that's kind of, and then I tear it all down. I leave, come back, do the same thing. I don't know about how you guys operate, but if I know, let's say for example, last night I saw a really big buck. But I had to come home last night. I couldn't hunt this morning. If this was the rut and I was going back to the exact same spot the next morning, I leave everything in the tree except the Ozonics, right? So I'm leaving my bow in the tree. I'll take the arrow off the rest and I'll stuff it in the quiver. I'll take my release. And I'll put it in my pocket of the pants that I'm going to wear the next morning. But I keep that all in the tree. Like I keep my bow in the tree. I keep my cords, or not any of my clothing. That all gets packed out because I don't want it wet in case there's moisture. But my Ozonics hanger, my bow hanger, my hooks, they all stay in the tree. And then I'll come back and all I have to do basically is clip in, maybe put on an additional layer, and I'm good to go, right? Binos, this entire process, the binos go on my chest in a chest pack, a chest pack at the truck, and I'm good to go. If it's wet in the mornings, I'll throw on a pair of gaiters. Like if there's some frost or some, maybe not frost, but if there's any like dew or has rained in the previous days, I'll wear gaiters to the tree and back. That way my pants aren't getting, wet. My pants, I'm not even wearing like quote unquote hunting pants. I'm basically wearing like a pair of khaki denim/work pants. They're not breathable, but they're durable. And what I mean by that is thorns aren't getting through them. A lot of like the beggar's lice and the cockaburs, they're not clinging to them like they would some of the fleece material that you'll see from a lot of hunting clothing. I just hunt in some places where it just sucks, man. You're either walking through multiflower rows, you're walking through beggar's lice or cockaburs, and they just stick to you everywhere you go. And it's a son of a bitch to get them all off you. And so I'm really trying to focus on not having to deal with that. So I just went with a heavier duty pant, like what construction workers or, a laborer might wear, and they have double padded knees for durability. They have like a double butt patch for durability. And that's what I'm wearing, man, along with some, base layers. I, like last night I was wearing a Huntworth base layer. a hump on my tops and bottoms. The base layer was a little thicker. I wore a solid color hoodie for most of the night. And then as the sun went down and it started to get cooler, I threw on it was a 3/4 zip hoodie, solid. And then I threw on a camo over top of that. Now for me, I don't ever take my binos off and then put them back on. I will zip my jacket up over top of them. And then if I need them, I'll unzip just a little bit and I'll have the pack exposed through the zipped jacket. It just, for me, it's always been a son of a bitch trying to take binos off, layer up. It's just time consuming. And I guess maybe that's my way of taking the easy way out on that. All right. A couple things that we all need to think about, especially if you're a bow hunter, if you are even guns, like, is your ammo dry? Is your gun clean? Has the barrel had mud packed in it and you didn't know it? So it's really good to inspect your firearm. For me, I inspect my arrows, my nocks. There was a time, man, I can't remember. This was several years ago. I had to climb a fence. And it was on it was one of those higher fences. It wasn't a high fence, but it was like 4 foot, and it wasn't a fence that you could push the barbed wire down and step over it. It was real tight, new fence. And so as I'm climbing over it, I kind of like my bow kind of swung and it hit a fence post, and I didn't think anything of it. I get to where I'm going. I do my run and gun setup. I hang my bow up. I'm getting ready to take an arrow out of my quiver and set it up. The end of 3 out of my 4 arrows, the nocks were all busted, so they wouldn't even sit on a string. So I got lucky, and I had one arrow I could have hunted with that night. And so I, fortunately, nothing came through. Unfortunately, fortunately, whatever, nothing came through, so I didn't have to worry about it. But the nocks on all of those arrows were busted. I would have been screwed if I had all 4, I would have had to get down and leave, basically. So make sure the arrows aren't cracked. Make sure your broadheads, if you're using a mechanical, are screwed in all the way, and they're held in position. Man, I can remember watching a video several years ago. I don't know who the guy was, but he had one blade of his broadhead, his mechanical broadhead, open, and he didn't know it. And as he drew back, something happened and his arrow just took a nosedive into the dirt right in front of this giant buck. And it was because his broadhead was open. So make sure your broadheads are sharp, and they're maybe not your practice broadhead. I've also been where I've went to the tree stand on an early season hunt, and thank God it was an early season and I didn't see much, but I left all of my field points on my arrows. I've had that happen before too. And that's embarrassing, especially for an adult. That's embarrassing. So I had that happen before. String on the bow. This is something that, you know, obviously as you're shooting your reps throughout the course of the season, you are understanding that your bowstring, you know, gets beat up. I replace mine every 2 years. I haven't gotten a new bow in years. This might be my 6th season with my current bow, and 5th or 6th season. And I try to replace the string every 2 seasons. So this is my 2nd season with my current set of strings. Make sure that you are looking for major frays. Make sure you're waxing your string. Make sure your peep sight is on tight. Make sure your sight is not loose. I've also had a scenario where, just like the nocks, crossing a fence, you drop it, you bump it, something happens to it. You go out and you shoot before your hunt, and your arrow is just nose diving in a completely different direction. And it's because my sight was off, because it got bumped. So you have to go then and re-sight everything in. And that completely sucks. But so make sure that you have all of the, everything's tight that needs to be tight. Shoot how you're going to shoot. So if you typically practice without a quiver on, make sure you're shooting without your quiver on in the stand. If you're shooting with your quiver on, I would recommend keeping your quiver on. I always keep the quiver on my bow for the most part. Some people say it doesn't matter. I'm just the kind of guy, I practice how you play, right? If you're going to play a certain way, make sure you practice that way. So string rests. If you have a cable driven system on your drop away or a limb driven system, there's that rope too, that, or that cable or that rope there that also needs to be addressed. So take care of that. Make sure your rest is working properly. Make sure your fletchings aren't hitting your drop away rest or whatever the case is. Just observe everything. Make sure it is tight and how it is supposed to be. The next thing was an eye opener for me. And I mentioned this every year and I try to do it every year, but this year I wasn't able to do it on this specific tree. Last night I went into a hunt and on my way up, I said to myself, take some additional time, open up all of the sticks that are to this tree because they've been there for multiple years now, loosen it and then tighten back up. As I loosened the cord or the straps on my climbing sticks and my tree stand, you can hear the tree, like the tree was growing and you can hear the actual tension of the straps being released. And it's kind of like a boing, boing, boing type sound, really low. However, what I'm getting at is those straps are meant to take pressure, but not tree growth pressure over 2 years, right? And so I let loose all my straps, tightened everything back up, and we're good to go, right? Climbed up, no problems, got up to the tree stand, loosened those, tied them back up, good to go, strap in, good to go. Right. So just those types of things we all need to be aware of for safety reasons. I mean, make sure there's no fray on your saddles. Make sure.
They always tell you there's a catch, a compromise, an asterisk. Terms apply. See store for details. Maybe less than advertised. May vary by mood. Probably. Sprite Zero Sugar. It's different. It's the lemon lime flavored refreshment you want with zero sugar. So no fast voice, no caveats, just refreshment. This is Sprite Zero Sugar. Obey your thirst.
We, as hunters, I don't know about you guys, but I'm really hard on my gear. I have hunting gear and I use it, and I use it hard because I hunt hard. And so it's important to make sure that, especially from a safety aspect, that whatever is holding you to the tree, whether that's the tree stand or your safety harness or your saddle, all of that stuff needs to be inspected every single year, right? Because you definitely want to come home to your wife and kids or girlfriend and kids or your kids or not your kids. I don't, whatever the case is, you just got to get home, man. You got to get home. So if you don't do that shit, you're kind of being selfish. Just take some time and do that. Outside of that, man, I'm just on the way out to the stand. I ran by a couple trail cameras, made sure the batteries in them were working still, made sure that the SD cards were properly. It's just this check, because what sucks is when you're not ready and the rut hits and you're in the grind of your vacation, you're like 2-3 days in and you're thinking about the deer and you're not thinking about your equipment. And then all of a sudden you go and check a trail camera because you wish you had some information there. That trail camera has been dead for 3 months. And you didn't even stop to check it. You just assumed it was working, but the batteries were dead. A branch fell in front of it and it just blew the entire season. Last night, I took down two Reveal trail cameras because they had moved cattle into those pastures. And so it's just pictures of cattle all day long. It's not even worth having them there because they are just, you know, not only the data plan is getting sucked dry, but also your batteries. And so they're not any good there to me anymore. So I'm going to take them down. I'm going to find another place to put them. So That's something to consider. We should be shooting our bows every single day now. I don't know, like I'm not a firearm guy per se, but maybe once a week, go to a range, make sure everything's still on and making sure we're on point with our weapons, our clothing, the same thing with our clothing. Over the course of the year, I get holes and stuff and it gets, you know, when you wash it and you've had a pair of pants for 5-6 years, your favorite jacket. Like I'm wearing one of my favorite puffy jackets right now, and it's not a hunting brand. It's Eddie Bauer. I bought it on like a clearance rack somewhere. But as I'm walking through the woods, you know, thorns hit it, the puffy stuff starts to come out of it. And, you know, maybe I put a little glue on it or put a little duct tape on it or something, a patch of some sort on it to maintain that. But outside of that, I'm trying to think, boots. Make sure your boots, like, I don't know, for some of you guys who hunt in wetter areas, I don't wear the Alpha Burley Pros or the lacrosse boots anymore. I wear my pair of Crispies. And then if it gets cold, I'll throw on a pair of Arctic Shield boot covers. And those keep my boots nice and, my feet nice and toasty. I love it. So it has replaced a pair of boots. I do have to come in, or I do have to pack them in, because you don't want to walk in the woods with them. However, they're worth it. They are strapped to my pack or they're put in my pack. Try to think of secondary. This would be a secondary piece of hunting equipment. Dude, your truck. Like I hear guys, like I can remember all the time when I was growing up, and I'd be like, dude, let's go hunting. And my buddies would be like, dude, I can't. My truck's in the shop. Like, why didn't you get that taken care of before the hunting season, right? November 5th or 7th or whatever is not a good day to have an oil change on your truck. Do it before the hunting season. Or some guy's like, oh, my brakes are bad or this is bad. Get that shit taken care of before the hunting season. Make sure your tires are properly inflated and all that stuff. Because what happens is, anytime you're dealing with gear, you're not in the woods, especially if it's something that's going to take a long time. Don't be a victim of that, I'll say. So oil changes, make sure your truck's in condition. I know that throughout the course of the hunting season, like wrappers and cans of pop or, you know, containers or trash just gets in. Anytime you stop to fill up gas, take a handful of shit and throw it in the trash. I always really like to keep my back seat well organized. So when I pull up to my hunting spot, I open my door and I'm going through a process. Now, I'm not extremely anal retentive about all of this stuff. All I know is that I'm ready to go. Binos on, you know, like if I need to change my boots, you know, then goes the saddle and then goes the pack. I just grab my bow and I'm not spending a ton of time getting ready. And that even leads to the afternoon hunts, right? Or like after your afternoon hunt, it's dark, you get back to the truck, you might be tired and you're just like, well, I'm just going to throw all this shit in here and I'll get it in the morning. Well, guess what? The morning is not a time to organize stuff. It's a time to get in the truck and go. Like for me, I'm not that guy who likes to get up and then tinker. I like to get up, slap some water on my face, get dressed and go. That's the kind of guy that I am in the morning. So I don't want to organize in the morning. All I want to do is get a deer on the ground. And you do that by being efficient. So I want to make sure that after my morning hunts, after my afternoon hunts, everything is back in its spot. For you manufacturing guys, I try to 5S my stuff, put it in the right spot. And that way it just becomes a routine every single day. And you have that routine down, you're going to be more efficient in the woods and you're going to kill some shit. So, talked about the knife and all that stuff. Make sure your knife is sharp. Make sure you have, if you're a replaceable blade guy, make sure you have replaceable blades on deck, on hand. I have been guilty of this in the past where I went to gut an animal, folded it up, put it back in my pocket, or in my bag, forgot about it, shot another deer. And then I was like, oh shit, I got to run to my truck. And I change everything out. You still got the corrosion, gooey blood and fat from the last animal you killed, which isn't necessarily too hygienic. And so just some things to keep eye on. I also keep a small tether of rope, like a small bunch of rope. And when I mean small, paracord, I'm talking like maybe 6 to 10 feet. Not a lot, but what I use that for is if I'm by myself and I happen to shoot a deer in the woods, and even if it's on a field edge and I can drive to it, when I'm gutting, it's always nice to have somebody hold a deer leg for you when you're going in. And so what I do is I will take a hoof, tie it up, and then tie it to a tree or tie it to the hitch on my truck. And then I am in charge of the other leg, and I'm able to, you know, start field dressing it. I've done that before, so I always keep that in. I've never been the guy to pack an extra release. I've never really needed it. I say that, but it might be something to consider if you're forgetful or you drop something out of the tree in the best bedding area you've ever seen. And instead of getting down, you just grab your backup release. Anything that can be potentially dropped from your tree stand, make sure your phone is well charged. Make sure that your headlamp has batteries in it. Like, these are all things that nobody really thinks about until it's too late. And then you're walking back to your truck, your batteries in your headlamp go, and now you're using your cell phone as a flashlight, and you have 3% battery life left, and you're just hoping you make it back to your truck. Because if that's the case, then you're legit blinding it, like trying to go blind through the timber or through some swamp to get back to your truck. Okay. Done that before. It sucks. I think that's it, right? I mean, I can sit here and make, you know, quadruple check everything, but I think you guys get the point of this episode, and it is have your gear processed down so you're spending less time tinkering with gear and more time in the woods. One thing that I forgot was I always try to, like, I spray some nose jammer on my boots before I head out. So that bottle or that little spray bottle of nose jammer is right there with me. With all my gear at the truck. And then I put it back in. Sometimes I'll take it with me, spray it at the bottom of the tree. So that's it. That's the reminder for today. Be prepared for.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
For the upcoming grind, good luck. And I mean this with all my heart. Good luck to absolutely everybody out there. I hope you guys fill the freezer. If you're going for inches, I hope you shoot a big buck. If you're a mentor this year and you may not even pick up a bow or a weapon, good luck to you mentoring whoever it is you're mentoring. Good vibes, everybody. If you could do me a huge favor, please go to iTunes or wherever you download the Hunting Gear podcast and leave a 5-star review, leave a comment that lets everybody know that this is a worthwhile podcast. I appreciate it. Good vibes, everybody. Good luck, and we'll talk to you next week. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.